When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the water, "Silence, be still." Suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. Then he asked them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" The disciples were absolutely terrified. "Who is this man?" they asked each other. "Even the wind and the waves obey him." Now, this time of year, well, it's just probably gone by that most of the people have exams, especially if you're at school. Well, not many of you are still at school, but you may be at college or extra education. Quite a few of the youngsters back at Newark have all had exams. And some people find them stressful. Some people just get very blasé and just wander through without any work at all. That was like my son a year or two ago. He didn't really bother. But in whatever stage in life we are, sometimes God gives us a little bit of a test, a little bit of a difficult situation to handle. And sometimes we tend to think that's for God to see what's in our lives. But the reality is probably more different. And in fact, it's for us to see what we're about. For us to find out who we're really trusting in and what we're really putting our confidence in. See, God knows everything anyway, so he doesn't need to test us to know what we're about. But sometimes we need to find out what we're about and what we're really hanging on to. And this is the situation here in Mark chapter 4. As we read, that Jesus has been on the shore of the lake there, teaching many parables, including the parable of the sower, a well-known parable, and the parable of the lamp, and the mustard seed. And as evening came, the crowds were there on the side of the lake, and Jesus was teaching from the boat, and he tells his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side." And so they started to set sail or row, whatever they did, and got out to the middle. And soon, a furious storm came up. That wasn't unusual in Lake Galilee. Storms tended to come down quite quickly and be pretty rough. And the disciples, many of them were experienced fishermen, experienced on the lake there, yet it says that they were terrified. The water was coming over into the boat and they thought they were going to drown. They must have been pretty bad if experienced fishermen, that's the state of mind they got into. And yet in contrast to that, Jesus is asleep in the back of the boat. Quite amazing, isn't it? Jesus was asleep. And the disciples in their panic, and I have to identify myself with the disciples here, and I suspect that you probably do too, that when difficult situations come, so they're saying, "Look, yes, Lord, it's all in your hands, I can trust you," most of us tend to panic and start saying, "Lord, what on earth are you doing? What are you doing? Let me in this situation. I'm about to drown. I'm going to go under with all this stuff coming on top of me." And say the disciples just weren't sort of super saints like we sometimes think they were. They were just ordinary people like you and me. People with problems and people with ordinary fears and anxieties. And they expressed them here. And Jesus woke up and just rebuked the wind and the waves. Now, I don't know what you can imagine if you can picture the scene. I mean, they were terrified with the storm before. Terrified and thought they were going to drown. But when Jesus gave the word, "Peace, be still," the whole thing just went like a mill pond. And that scared the disciples even more. It was someone who was in the boat who actually had power over the wind and the waves. And then Jesus says to them, in effect rebuking them, "Do you still have no faith?" And they started to ask themselves, "Who on earth is this man? Who on earth is he?" And this morning I just want to look at some of the things we can learn from this story. And the first thing I want to say is this, that doing God's will doesn't exempt us from life's storms and life's problems. Doing God's will doesn't mean we're going to have a problem-free life. That things are just going to be plain sailing, just dead easy. In fact, quite often when we're doing God's will, storms will come. You see, Jesus had told the disciples, "Let's go over to the other side." So it wasn't the disciples' idea, say, Jesus, let's go and go for a sailing cruise, or let's go and do a bit of spot of fishing. It was Jesus himself saying, let's go over to the other side. And so they weren't out of God's will, they weren't doing something they shouldn't have been doing. They were actually responding to Jesus' command. And so often in life, Jesus can tell us to do things, and we start off and we think it's all going well, and then suddenly the storms just hit. Problems seem to mount up. Things just pile over us, and we just think, what on earth is going on? I'm sure the Lord told me to do this. And yet it just seems to be just unending problems coming over me. And that's what the disciples felt like. And the problems are so difficult in their case that they thought the problems of the waves coming over in the boat was actually going to sink them. And sometimes in life, we can feel the problems are about to sink us. We think we're going to go underneath. They're just too much, too many. But you know, problems are often a sign that we're in God's will, to be honest. But they're certainly normal in life. Nobody's exempted. And certainly if we're walking in God's will, we will experience problems. And we should expect them. They're normal. And that's what we should expect. But the great thing about problems is this. And the great thing about the Christian life is this. Jesus is with us in the storms of life. Remember, Jesus is in the boat with them. We're not alone. And that's a fantastic thing. When storms hit, when problems come, Jesus is in the boat of our life. Jesus is there with us. He's there. He's always promised that he'll never leave us or forsake us. And the disciples felt like they'd been abandoned. They were saying, Lord, what on earth are you doing? And many times in our lives, we may feel like that, that we've been abandoned, that he's not there. But he is. He's never going to leave us. He gives us his promise. He will be there. Now, this time last year, I was in Zambia. Took a bunch of youngsters from Newen. I got a brother who lives out there. 9 of us went. And we went... this Sunday morning, I would have been preaching in Zambia in a school hall. Probably they were an hour or two ahead of us, so probably would have finished by now. But we went to the sort of sticks out in the northwest there where my brother lives, who's looking after sort of on the financial side of the hospital, the schools, and one or two other things on a mission station. And at the end of our trip there, we left 2 weeks. We took these little mission planes, Cessnas, and flew down to the Victoria Falls down at Livingston. Sort of touristy bit at the end of the trip, the last couple of days. And the falls are spectacular, especially this time of year. And we saw a few things there. We actually microlighted over the falls. quite a scary thing. And by the time we had to go, we were going to due to catch, and we booked on a bus that was going to leave Livingston about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So we had an early lunch, got there early, got taxis to take us there, dropped us by the side of the road. To go up to Lusaka, which is about, I don't know, 6 hour drive, something like that, to catch the plane for early the next morning, catching the plane. Anyway, we waited by the side of the road, and it didn't seem particularly obvious that it was a bus stop. So after a while, we were waiting for quite a while, we sort of started to ask one or two folks, you know, is this where the bus goes to leave for Lusaka? And one or two saying, well, I haven't seen a bus here for months, you know, not quite sure. So I begin to think, well, maybe the company had gone bust. We bought the tickets in April, and maybe. And so we rang the number on the ticket, got no answer whatsoever. So it didn't sort of help thinking what was going on. So we waited there quite a while, and it was in the heat of the day, just sat on the side of the road with our suitcases, just there. And then my brother Philip gave us a phone number of someone he knew in Livingston, which is his brother and sister-in-law. And that was the only people we knew there. We didn't know them, but it was the only number we had. So in sort of desperation, we rang them. And we eventually got the wife, and she said, I'll be with you in 5 minutes. I'm working in town. I know where you are. I'll be there. And as it worked out, she was involved in the Ministry of Tourism. So she was exactly the right person to sort of deal with this sort of problem. And so she got onto the bus company and said, are you coming? And they said, yeah, we'll be there in an hour. But... You've got to bear in mind you're in Zambia here. But they were just telling lies, basically, and that she wasn't the sort of woman to be messed about with. And so when an hour went by, she'd ring them again and say, right, where are you? And they said, oh, yeah, we're a bit late, and now we're going to be there shortly, and blah, blah, blah. But anyway, the whole sort of went on for several hours. We were there till like 6 in the evening. It's just dark. And she'd been on the phone a few times, and it basically materialised that they weren't going to come. So we had a slight problem. And I mean, how were we going to get to the airport by 6:30 the next morning to catch the plane? If we missed it, I didn't dare to think what the consequences were, financially or anything else, perhaps. And there we were. Anyway, she sort of pulled some strings, remarkably, and managed to arrange it for us to go up in a people carrier with a little trailer behind with all our luggage. I think it cost them like $650 to put this on for us. And we left about 8:30 at night and drove into the night, not realising that the roads in that part of Zambia are absolutely atrocious. I mean, 20 mile an hour was a good speed. It's just pothole ridden. And it wasn't long before we had a puncture. And a bit longer in the journey, the wheel came off the trailer, the bearing had gone. And as it materialised, we literally drove right for the night. It was in pretty cramped conditions. So there was 10 of us inside a little people carrier and luggage. So you can imagine the conditions. But we got there and we drove straight to the airport and back on time. And as I looked back on that, I thought, that's quite remarkable, really. And my mind went back on the morning I left for Zambia. I was reading in my quiet time about the story of Joseph. And he was saying to his father, Jacob, come down to Egypt. And Jacob was a bit wary, and he said, I will take care of you there. And I remember writing in my little journal thing I write in my morning quiet times, promise for Zambia, I will take care of you there. And sure enough, God did. If I try to work it out myself and worry myself sick, which we could have done, I could never work it out. But God is good at his promises. You know, and the situation can look bleak and look pretty awful. And yet, God keeps his promises. And sometimes in fantastic ways. In ways that just surprise us. We couldn't ever begin to understand or work out ourselves. The next thing I want to say is this. Storms develop faith. Storms develop faith. You see, when life is just plain sailing, when life is just easy, we don't need faith. We could do it all ourselves. And very often we do. Not that we should, but we do. But when circumstances are difficult, when they conspire against us, when things seem impossible, when the situations just seem absolutely horrendous, we realise we can't manage on our own. We need to realise that we need someone there with us, someone giving us the strength, the power and the direction. And that's when we start to develop faith. See, when God asks us to move and we move out in obedience to him and storms come, we have to trust him. We have to trust him. There is no other way. And even though the disciples started to panic, they started to reveal that they were human. Jesus was there. And Jesus said, why are you so afraid, the disciples? After he rebuked the winds and waves, he says, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? What was Jesus expecting? What was he expecting from his disciples? And I often wonder about that. You know, what was he expecting them to do in that storm? Was he expecting them to do what he did and calm the wind and the waves? Probably not. But I think he was expecting them to say, Jesus is here with us in the boat. He said, let's go over to the other side. I don't know how we're going to get there. It seems impossible at the moment, but I will trust him. I will trust him. You see, God has promised that whatever he's called us to, he is faithful. And he will give us the strength and the power to do what he's called us to do. He who called you is faithful, and he will do it. So whenever he's called us to something, he will give us the enabling to do it. That's one of the principles of Scripture. If he calls us to do something, he'll give us the strength to be able to do it. And faith believes that God will get us to the other side. Faith believes God's word. Faith believes God's promises. And no matter what the circumstances may tell us, They may be very contrary to what we're feeling and experiencing. We can cling on to the promises of God. And Jesus was there in that situation, and he demonstrated that he had power over the wind and the waves, that he was indeed God. He wasn't just an ordinary man. He was indeed God. And therefore, we can hang on to his word and to his promises. We can trust him in every area of our life. But you see, it's only in the problems of life that the theory that's in our heads drops down to real heart knowledge and real experience. We can know a lot of things up here. I can know a lot of things. But what we find, what we really believe, is when we're in a desperate situation, when we have to believe it. And that's when it's revealed. That's when it reveals to us what we're really trusting in. And this situation was just such a situation. And so storms in life develop faith. And so if we're going to be people of great faith, we will experience storms. Now, I like reading the Jungle Doctor stories to my kids, and the youngest one, I'm just reading a Jungle Doctor story now. And this particular story, there's a guy called Simba, who's a lion hunter. And the Jungle Doctor has explained to him that the difficulties in life are there for a reason. And he says, if you only want to be a rat catcher, you don't need much skill and much difficulty. He said, if you want to be a lion catcher, you're going to have some tough situations. And so if we want to be lion catchers, we want people who can really move out in faith, the only way we develop that faith is through tough situations. It doesn't happen just in the theory here in church on a Sunday morning. It's out there when it gets tough. That's when we develop faith. I want you also to remember that faith brings peace in the storm. Jesus said, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" See, the disciples have reacted in fear and panic and stress. Say, just like you and I would. And in this sort of passage, Jesus sort of links fear and faith, puts the two sort of concepts together. Now, some people sort of say, well, you can't have fear and faith at the same time. They're mutually exclusive. I wouldn't agree with that. But what I would say is that faith overcomes fear. There are many times in the Bible, and the Apostle Paul is one of them, where it's the angel comes to him and says, when he's on the shipwreck, before he's shipwrecked, don't be afraid. So it was obvious that the Apostle Paul was afraid. Before Joshua went into the promised land, he was told not to fear, not to be afraid. So it's natural for us to be afraid sometimes. And fear in and of itself will paralyze and cripple us. That's what fear does. It means we can't move, we can't get and do anything because we're so afraid. But faith overcomes the fear. It moves us forward. So it doesn't mean we don't experience the fear, but it means that we overcome it by faith. It's the faith that overcomes the world, we're told in John. And when we flew to Zambia, so there was 9 of us who went, some of us some of the party had never flown before. Some had flown once or twice, like myself, and one girl in the party had flown loads of times. But we all had faith enough to get on that plane. And we all sat there with different sort of emotions running through our heads and in our hearts. And for those who'd never flown before, they were quite nervous and quite uptight about the experience. For those that have flown loads of times, they just sat there and just, oh, it's nothing. For those of us who maybe felt a little bit, we were just sort of a little bit anxious, I must admit, and just saying, well, hope it's all going to be right. But we all arrived safely in Lusaka. But what faith did was this. The one with greater faith had more peace. They weren't so worried about the situation. Those that only went on the plane for the first time, they were more uptight. And what faith does is gives us peace in the storm. And the greater the faith, the more peace we experience. Now, I want to just say something at the end here. There's I don't know if you've heard of the band Casting Crowns. Anybody into Casting Crowns? Probably not. It's one of my favourite bands from America. And one of their songs is about the storms of life. And it's called Praise You in This Storm. And And one of the things that the disciples didn't do, they said they panicked and they lacked the peace. And what's a real evidence of faith is that we can actually praise God in the storm. Now, the disciples didn't manage to get that far. They were just panic-stricken and lacked that trust. But when we really know God in the storm, we can actually praise him in it. And that's quite an ask. Now, the character in the Old Testament that typifies that is Job. When everything went wrong with him and he lost his family, he lost his possessions, he said, "The Lord has given, the Lord has taken away. And blessed be the name of the Lord." Matt Redman's written a song about it, which you've probably seen quite quickly, when his wife had a miscarriage, I think it was written as a result of. And so Casting Crowns have written a song called Praise You in the Storm. And the song's about a little girl. It's a true story, where she had listened to one of the Casting Crowns albums and sent a video into them about her, she was only 8 or 9 at the time, of her dancing to this song. And they were quite touched by this, and so they got in touch with her. And then later when they'd heard that she was diagnosed with cancer. And Mark Hall, the guy who is the lead singer and writer of the songs of Casting Crowns, said, "What he was incredibly impressed with the little girl was that she always had a smile on her face. And the girl's mother had incredible faith. In a sense, she would always praise God in the midst of the storms of life." And this little girl, after having a valiant battle with cancer, died at the age of 9. In humanly speaking, quite tragic circumstances. And Mark Hall wrote this song, and I'll just give you the words to it. It says this: "I was sure by now, God, that you would have reached down and wiped our tears away, stepped in and saved the day. But once again, I say amen, and it's still raining. As the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain, I am with you. And as your mercy falls, I raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away. And I'll praise you in this storm, and I will lift my hands for you. For you are who you are, no matter where I am. And every tear I've cried, you hold in your hand. You never left my side. Though my heart is torn, I will praise you in this storm. I remember when I stumbled in the wind, you heard my cry to you and raised me up again. My strength is almost gone. How can I carry on if I can't find you? And as the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain, I am with you. And as your mercy falls, I'll raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away. I lift my eyes onto the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. I lift my eyes onto the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." You see, God is there with us in the storms of life. And when we really trust him, we can go beyond what is natural and we can actually praise him in the storm. And that takes something quite special. And it's tough. And sometimes when life seems to be falling apart around about us, and sometimes it does, we can know God's presence in a very real way with us. He's there in the boat of our life. Even though we may appear to be asleep, he's there. He's there in the middle of the storms. Give him peace in that situation. And when we really trust him, we can actually say, "Lord, I don't understand what's going on. I don't understand. But I can praise you. I can praise you in this storm." And that's the position that God wants us to get into. But we can only get there if we start to recognize who Jesus is. You see, the disciples said, "Who on earth is this man? Who on earth is he?" And we need to settle that question. And for some of us here this morning, we may be saying, "I don't know who Jesus is." Maybe we just come out of curiosity and we don't really know Jesus. Can I just invite you this morning, if you haven't made that step of faith initially, just to come to him, invite him into your life, ask him to forgive, to cleanse, and to move on with him in your life. Now, for others of us here this morning, we may be walking the Christian path for many years. But we still need to recognise who Jesus is. See, he was the Lord of the waves, the Lord of the sea. He had power like no one else. He could actually make the wind and the waves go still. And we need to recognise him as Lord in every area of our lives. We need to recognise that. And when we recognise it, just to trust him and leave it in his hands. And sometimes life is tough and it's difficult. And humanly speaking, we would be like the disciples who panic and get very fearful. But we need to recognise that Jesus is there with us in the boat. He's there in the storms of life. And we can have peace in those situations, incredible peace. And he can just guide us through. It may be ways that we've never expected, anticipated, and just know his hand upon us. And we say, when we came out from Zambia, we all just said we had a story to tell. We knew that God had looked after us, and he protected us in a way that we never could have believed. And sometimes we don't understand what God is doing, and sometimes things are tough, but we can actually praise him in the middle of the storms of life. And I'm going to finish this morning with the song, In Christ Alone. See, that's who we really need to trust in. That's who we need to put our confidence in whatever we're facing in life. In Christ alone.